Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 173. My name is John. If ever you're in my arms again, this time I'll hold you forever. What is it about pets? These animals whose ancestors long ago formed a bond with our ancestors to create cooperative relationships, to hunt, herd livestock, control pests. In modern times, they're often simply part of the family with special meaning to us. These little creatures, and some not so little, come into our lives and more often than not, make it better. I'm partial to cats myself. I love their independence, relative cleanliness, and comparative low maintenance to other pets. And don't get me wrong, I like dogs, but I love cats. Up until July of last year, we were a three-cat family. But we lost Nina to old age that month. I spoke about her in podcast number 160. Unfortunately, we're now a single cat family, as Oliver succumbed to illness on August 27th, a week ago today as I'm recording this. This one little life that meant so much to us that I'm devoting this podcast to him was a constant source of enjoyment, happiness, and a bit of mischief and frustration for us all these years. And we miss him terribly. I mentioned in my podcast on Nina that we made a big mistake when introducing Nina to our existing cat at the time, Zeke. You know, if you already have a cat or cats in your house, and you're bringing a new one in, you can't just bring the new cat in and introduce it to the other one right away. You take the new cat, bring it into a room of its own without the other cat even seeing it, and let the new cat get used to the one room. The cats can smell and paw at each other under the door, but don't let them see each other. After a few days, you can isolate the existing cat or cats in another room or another place in the house, and allow the new cat to wander the house for a few hours before going back into his designated room. Give it at least a week before you allow the cats to see each other. You know, this won't guarantee they will like each other, but it gives you a better chance of them getting used to and accepting each other's presence. Yeah, we didn't do that with Zeke and Nina. Zeke was a big, burly alpha male, and Gina brought Nina out right away. Zeke hissed and swatted at Nina. Nina hissed and swatted right back. Nina was considerably smaller than Zeke, and while they eventually did occasionally get along, many times Zeke would chase her. That in and of itself was bad enough, but what made it worse was it made Nina develop a massive distrust for other cats. When Zeke passed, though, we thought Nina needed a fresh start with a new friend. So, of course, you could probably all guess where we went to find a new feline companion for Nina. That's right, a bookstore. Nine Lives Bookstore, to be specific. They not only had a huge supply of used books, but in the back, they had a cattery of strays needing a home. We went there and spent some time with the cats, and a lot of them seemed nice. But as I walked past one of the cages, a little white paw stuck out and grabbed my sleeve. A 9-month-old tuxedo cat wanted my attention. I got the okay to open the cage, and the cat crawled into my arms and put his front paws on my shoulder, getting me to hold him like a baby. He also seemed to play well with the other cats in the room. That's a good sign. But we weren't entirely convinced, because we wanted to be sure Nina would be able to get along with whoever we brought into the house. So we looked at other places, including the local animal shelter, and found a very beautiful but perpetually frightened gray cat that Gina just loved. I wasn't sure that we could handle a cat that hides under the bed at the slightest little scare, which is exactly what we got with Max a couple of years later. My mind kept going back to that friendly tuxedo who played well with other cats. So we went back to 9 Lives and adopted him. This time, we did exactly what we were supposed to do. We isolated Oliver from Nina, and after a week, we finally let them see each other. This is the point where I need to remind you of what I said earlier about the slow integration of cats. This won't guarantee they will like each other, but it gives you a better chance of them getting used to and accepting each other's presence. Unfortunately, Nina's distrust from having lived with Zeke all those years turned Oliver into an instant rival in her eyes. And Oliver turned out to be just another alpha male that liked to bully Nina, just like Zeke had done to her previously. It got really bad when Gina and I were on vacation, probably about 2 years later. My mother was cat-sitting for us at the time. She thought we were coming back on Friday, but we didn't get back until Saturday. So, by the time we got home very late on Saturday, almost midnight, neither of the cats had been fed in over a day. We walked into a kitchen with obvious signs of a cat fight. Fur was everywhere. Nina had a tear in her right ear and a half-inch gash next to her rectum. We were pretty freaked out about it at the time, but the vet got her fixed up, and we now refer to it as the time that Oliver tried to rip her a new asshole. I came very close to getting rid of Oliver. But a few months later, Max stumbled into our lives when we found him abandoned in a hotel parking lot in Texas City. Max was a sweet, scared little kitten. And even though Nina was still wary of him, she accepted him much more than Oliver. And Max became the buffer between the two. Max's introduction to Oliver was classic. Once again, I took great care in keeping Max isolated from the other cats in the back bedroom of our house. In order to give Max some human interaction and try to ease his fear of people and everything else, I slept in the room with him, and that's probably why he is much more attached to me than he is to Gina. I knew the other two would wonder what was going on, so I would make sure I peeked out the door first to make sure the older cats weren't out there and accidentally see their new housemate before the proper time. Nina and Oliver also loved to hang out in the garage, so I would let them out there for a little while and allow Max to roam the house and get a feel for things. He could smell the other cats, and when they came back inside, they could smell him. plan, of course, was to give them a full week to get used to each other's scents and their presence. And on day 6, I was in the back bedroom with Max. And without thinking to peek outside first, I opened the door wide, and Oliver was sitting right in front of me. He was looking up at me, and then, just as tiny little 3-pound Max appeared behind my foot, Oliver looked down and saw his new housemate. I thought, oh shit, what's gonna happen? Well, what happened was the last thing I expected. Oliver's eyes widened to cartoonish proportions. I mean, seriously, it was practically a live-action tribute to Tex Avery. 2 seconds later, Oliver ran full speed down the hallway, around the corner, like he had just seen the most terrifying thing on Earth, and then poked his head halfway out to look back, ready to run further from the frightening monster from the back bedroom. Ollie never did truly like Max, and there would be a lot of hissing and an occasional wrestling match, but nothing severe. And after a while, they managed to get along, on occasion. But the conflict with Ollie and Nina ended with Max around. Oliver's original name, given to him by the manager at the cattery, was Philo, which means kind, home-loving, hospitable, and friendly. Which is true of how he was with people, and what seemed like every cat other than the two that he lived with in our house. Philo was certainly a unique name, but it just didn't feel right to us. Whenever I want to come up with a good name for my cats, or, you know, pretty much anything, I start to go through the secret identities of DC Comics superheroes. Now, most of these are a solid no for me. Bruce, Clark, Hal, Arthur, Barry. I'm not naming my cat any of those. But as soon as I thought of Green Arrow's secret identity, Oliver Queen, I said to my wife, "How about Oliver?" I knew we had it. We toyed with Max as a first name. At the time, we did not know another male cat would make his way into our lives. But after settling on a first name, we decided to combine his original name and our other choice for an admittedly odd and rarely used middle name of Philo Max. Oliver had several nicknames over the years. Early on, he was Little Dude, which became just Dude. After a while, Dude became Doodles, which became Doodle Bug, and occasionally Bugs or Buggy. But there was one very well-earned nickname that would come up when necessary. Drooliver. Oliver loved to be held. If you held and petted him, and he was happy, he had the habit of drooling all over you. We first noticed this at a party many years ago. I think it was my 40th birthday, actually. My friend discovered Oliver and was holding him close and rubbing up against him with her cheek, and we saw a little drool drip out of his mouth and onto her shoulder. Everybody thought that was hilarious. And there were many days when I would come home from work, and Oliver, needing attention, would give me a wet shoulder by the time Gina got home. Oliver not only needed attention, sometimes he demanded attention. One evening, Gina and I got into a massive argument. Don't remember why, but it was probably something stupid that I did. Gina was at the back of the hallway yelling at me. I was at the front of the hallway yelling at her. out of nowhere, Oliver leaped up in front of me, and I just reacted by catching him. He then immediately assumed his position, being held like a baby on my shoulder. He was tired of mommy and daddy fighting. Now was the time for love. Gina and I instantly burst into laughter and forgot all about our fight. We still don't remember what it was. Usually, the one causing the commotion, Oliver this time became our little peacemaker. In his younger years, when he was spry enough to do so, Oliver would jump into my arms. If the mood was right, he would do so on command, and we even used it as a party trick. Even when he could no longer jump into my arms, I would bend down to get him, and he would stretch up with his front paws in the air to make it easier for me to pick him up. When guests would come over, Oliver would jump in their laps to get their attention. Unfortunately, that occasionally happened when we were trying to eat. All of our cat sitters loved him because he always wanted them to hang out and hold him. But no one garnered his affection more than his mommy. Gina was the light of his life. Before his health took its final turn, he could be found every night cuddled up next to Gina in bed. Of course, sometimes his need to be close to her led to her waking up with him literally draped across her neck and face. Every time she sat down, he viewed that as an opportunity to be in her lap. I was the afterthought or substitute for whenever Gina wasn't giving him attention. We thought it was ironic that I was the one who decided to bring him home, but he gravitated to her. That's not to say I didn't have my uses. In order to get extra vegetables in my diet, I would make a fruit smoothie in the mornings before work and add a hearty handful of greens in it from a box of mixed greens that I would buy from the store. Oliver knew this, and whenever I brought the box out of the refrigerator, he would perk up, run over to me, and beg for some kind of green leaf. It turned into a joke about him eating salad. He would eat any green that I gave him, but he was especially fond of spinach. I would hand it out, he'd raise up on his haunches, grab it in his mouth, drop it on the floor, and hold it in place with his paw while he tore it apart and ate it. I mentioned that Nina would go outside with me but stay close, and Oliver and Max followed her lead. Until one time, Oliver didn't. He was outside with me and Gina, and then we got engrossed in a conversation with our wonderful neighbors next door. After a couple of moments, I realized Oliver was no longer in my line of sight. I checked the other side of the house, the backyard, the garage, the inside of the house, but he was nowhere to be found. I checked to see if he wandered over to the neighbor's yard and even walked down the block, but still nothing. We finally found him exploring our other neighbor's backyard, and he refused to come back to us. He just wanted time to inspect things. Unfortunately, our neighbor wasn't home, and I didn't want to go back there without permission, so we texted him to ask if it was okay, and just as he responded that it was, Oliver jumped over the fence back to us. You little brave, independent bastard. One time, Oliver and I were outside, and normally I keep an eye out to see if any of the neighborhood strays are out, just to make sure that no fights happen. But that evening, I didn't see this beautiful gray and white female that had been wandering around for the past couple of weeks. She looked a lot like Oliver, but gray instead of black. I had my back to Oliver, and I heard him meowing. I turned around just in time to see the female cat walk right up to Oliver, do a full body rub across his neck, and continue walking past him like it was nothing. Oliver was completely taken aback, eyes wide, looking around him and then at me with a face that clearly asked, "What the hell just happened?" He just never knew what you were going to get with our tuxedo cat. Just like his fur with a mixture of light and dark, he was a mixture of love, sweetness, affection, but also mischief, annoyance, and frustration. But he was ours, and we loved him. When we lost Nina, Oliver spent a lot of time comforting Gina. She would say to him, "I need you to stay with us for at least a few more years. I don't know if I could take losing you two." I agreed and hoped that he would be with us for a while. But just over a year later, our hopes were dashed. Oliver had medical problems. He was always felt, especially compared to Max. But at some point a few years ago, he seemed to be getting abnormally thin. So the vet checked him out, and they found a thyroid issue. But there's a couple of ways that you can handle a situation like that. One, radiation therapy, which keeps him in isolation for several days, and it can be risky for senior cats. So we went with option two, daily medication, which involved rubbing a small amount of cream on the inside of his ear. Since Oliver loved to be held and loved to have his ears rubbed, that option worked perfectly up until about a year ago when he seemed to have enough and would occasionally fuss about it. We could never seem to get the dosage right, and the levels he needed to be at seemed to massively fluctuate, much to the consternation of our vet. He had a UTI a couple of times, but that was quickly fixed with diet tweaks and medicine. He loved going out into the garage, but he didn't always bother to come back inside to use the litter box. Well, at least he kept it on the garage floor and not in the cars where he liked to sleep. But the big problem was always the thyroid. A couple of weeks ago, he wasn't eating or drinking and looked lethargic. So we took him to the vet where the already thin cat, due to the thyroid issue, had lost another half pound, dipping below 6 pounds. And after examinations and blood work, it was determined that he had an infection. They gave him a subcutaneous injection of fluids to help his dehydration and some oral antibiotics for us to administer to him nightly. And he perked right up back to his normal self for a few days. About 10 days later, he started looking weak again. He again wouldn't eat. He would sit at the water bowl and stare at it for several minutes, take a lap of water or two, and then stare at it again. This was Nina's behavior in her final days. That Monday night, Gina got up from bed to use the restroom and found Oliver in the bathtub, a place he would never go. She told me about it in the morning, and that also greatly concerned me, because I had a cat as a child who did that just before he died. When Gina got up to start the day, Oliver would lay with his belly on the cool tile in the kitchen. Once again, something he never did before. Gina made an appointment with the vet for 10 a.m. I took Oliver in, and I was hoping I was wrong about what the vet would say. At the weigh-in, he lost another half pound just in the previous 2 weeks. I felt the fear of what was to come pour over me. As the vet did a physical examination, feeling under his belly, he stopped and looked up at me in shock. "There's a lump here," he said with bewilderment. "This was not here when I examined him 2 weeks ago." Oliver had cancer, and it was spreading fast. That explained his lethargy, failure to eat or drink, desire to keep his belly cool on the tile floor, and his need for quiet isolation. He wanted a place where he could die. I called my wife, who burst into tears. She got herself to a point where she could come home. And I called up the veterinary service that we used last year to come to our home to gently end Nina's life in familiar surroundings with us. I made the appointment for the next morning to give us one final night with Oliver. Gina came home, and by that time, Oliver had gone back into the bathtub. She got a little bowl of milk that he loved and some water for him to drink, and we stayed with him for a little while. I went downstairs to make a sandwich since I hadn't eaten anything all day, and Gina started screaming for help. I went upstairs. There was vomit all over the bathroom floor. Oliver was hunched over close by, wobbling back and forth like he was going to topple over any second, and he was wailing in pain. I grabbed a towel to clean the mess. Gina was sobbing uncontrollably. Our little kitty was suffering. She looked at me and asked if we should call the vet back to see if they could make it to our house the same day. I didn't want to. I wanted to spend the evening cuddling that little cat who always so desperately wanted to cuddle with me and Gina at every opportunity. I wanted one last night to love and dote on that cat and scratch his neck and hold him like a baby. And Gina wanted that too. But this was not about what we wanted. It was about what Oliver needed. I called the vet again and asked if they had someone who could come by that day instead of waiting until morning. I secretly and selfishly hoped that they would not have anyone available, so I could take it as a sign that Oliver would be okay through the next morning, so we could have just a few extra hours with him. But they did have someone available just a couple of hours later. The sign was obvious. Oliver was suffering and needed his pain to end. I woke up that morning not knowing that less than 8 hours later, our feline friend of 16 years would be gone from our lives. My heart was grasping out for any shred of hope. But it simply wasn't there. Gina didn't want to be the one to hold him, but I knew she had to be the one. Oliver liked me, but he absolutely loved her. She was his world. Nina would come to me at night to sleep on my shoulder. Oliver would cuddle with Gina all night long. I knew if Gina didn't hold him in his final minutes, she would regret it for the rest of her life. I stayed right with her. Oliver stretched across her lap, and the doctor gave him the first injection to relax him. Gina petted him while I knelt down and scratched his chin. We both kept telling him how much we loved him and thanked him for bringing joy to our lives. After a few moments, the second injection of an overdose of anesthesia was given. Tears rolled down our faces as a new little kitty angel was born. Just as with Nina a year before, the vet took the body for cremation, and we will get the ashes in the next few days. The vet placed his body in a large basket with a blanket wrapped around him. He looked at peace, resting. Painless. We thanked her for her kindness, listening to our story and preparing us for his final moments. After the vet left, it seemed like we walked aimlessly around the house for a time, not really knowing what to do next, still processing the horrible turn our day had taken. It overwhelmed us, and we went to bed for several hours. Gina took the next day off, Wednesday, and we spent the day together. Her friends came over with food and gifts that afternoon and spent some time with us. Our wonderful neighbors next door brought over a strawberry pie, which is just about the best tasting pie I've ever had. Gina had to go back to work on Thursday, and I don't envy the weight of the heartache she had to endure on top of the stress of her job. That morning, I went to the refrigerator to take out some greens to make my smoothie. And I started to call out to Oliver to come get a spinach leaf. And then I remembered. And then the tears came. Nina could be a loud cat when she was hungry, and she liked to caterwaul through the house at least once a day. Oliver was twice as loud when he was hungry, and he would not stop until you dropped everything and fed him. He would also talk to you when he wanted to go out into the garage or be picked up. Max hardly ever talks, and he will sit silently and patiently wait near his bowl to be fed. What I'm saying is, it's a very quiet house now. There's an energy sorely missed. There's a little tuxedo cat, terribly missed. Look, you may think I'm going overboard with the reaction to the death of a cat, the in-home euthanasia and cremation, and that's okay, because you are welcome to your opinion on how you would handle things. This is how I choose to do things. Nina's ashes now sit in our living room in an urn shaped like a sleeping cat, and soon Oliver's will be too. Before leaving somewhere, we have a routine of rubbing Nina's urn, and soon we will do the same for Oliver's as well. For over 16 years, he brought laughter and cheer to our lives. I miss him. And just in case you're wondering, over the years of recording this podcast, occasionally Oliver would interrupt me because he wanted attention or food. And sometimes I would come home and have my phone ready to record a video of him being so anxious to be fed. I've mixed in those noises, those meows of his throughout this podcast. I hope it brings a smile to your face, just as this one little life brought 16 years of smiles to us. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.